The views expressed on this show by guests and the hosts on issues outside of the 9/11 controlled demolition evidence are the opinions of those individuals alone and do not necessarily reflect those of architects and engineers for 9/11 truth.
Craig McKee has been a journalist in Montreal for over 30 years, and he has covered news and entertainment during that time. He's won 8 provincial and national weekly newspaper awards. He is the main writer at Truth and Shadows, a great blog I encourage everybody to keep track of, and he's a frequent guest on this show, and somebody that I think we need to have on at this moment of worldwide panic here. So, Craig, thank you so much for coming on 9/11 Freefall today.
Thanks for having me on, Andy. I'm glad that when you think of panic, you think of me. I appreciate that.
Well, I think you're that soothing voice that's going to keep everybody calm, just like a Walter Cronkite here. So you're Freefall's Walter Cronkite.
That's the first time I've ever heard that, but I like it.
So, you know, it would be strange if we didn't cover this to a certain extent. This is a 9/11 focused show. Sometimes we go a little off topic, but it would just be really weird if I'm sitting here talking about Freefall Acceleration on 9/11 and we don't acknowledge the incredible hysteria taking place outside our windows on every continent on this earth. So we're going to talk about it a little bit, and I think there's some correlations between September 11th, the reaction to it, and what we're seeing now. But I want to start off with the most important question, Craig. Did you wash your hands today? And if so, did you wash them real good?
I have not washed my hands today. But I haven't been anywhere, so I don't know if that gets me off the hook or not. But I did make a point. I went out yesterday to get some groceries and stop in at the bank, excuse me, and I actually did make a point of washing my hands very carefully as soon as I got home, because I realized, even walking down the street, how often there's an impulse to, you know, bring your hands up to your face, whatever. And I did it even 3 or 4 times, but I managed to stay away from my mouth, I guess. But yeah, it's not exactly a habit that, you know, doesn't always come naturally in terms of washing for 20 seconds and hot water and thinking in terms of health, like I got to wash my hands for my health. Usually it's just because, you know, dinner's ready, you know, something like that.
Well,
right after this show, I promise.
Well, we needed an Oval Office address in this country to tell people to wash their hands and cover their cough. So it's made me very vigilant to do that. I actually gave my dog a bath this morning, so my hands sort of smell like dog shampoo at the moment. But he's clean and I am clean. And obviously, us talking about this coronavirus, we are not architects and engineers for virus study or anything like that. Any opinions we express on this are just mine and Craig's. And we're not trying to take it lightly. Obviously, people can die of a flu in the right conditions if they've got other health problems, if they are at a certain age. So we don't want to downplay the people who have died in this case. However, you know, I've got my own opinions about that. I'm sure Craig will be responding with some of his own reactions. But let's talk about the coronavirus. It's affecting everybody. Affects us, obviously, here. A lot of our people are in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is on total lockdown. You can't even walk down the street for a pack of gum. You have to be buying food, or you could be stopped by police and asked, what are you doing, and sent back if they don't consider it important enough. I mean, these are things that are happening now in America as a result of this. Craig, what do you think about all this that's going on right now?
Well, I the development that you just mentioned, I think, is pretty alarming. I would much rather see people voluntarily isolating themselves and, you know, making sure that people are given all the facts that they need and educated about the best ways to avoid getting the virus and spreading the virus. when it starts to get into forced, you know, like, you know, on penalty of imprisonment or fine, which I think is in the law that that you're referring to with the Bay Area, that kind of disturbs me a certain amount. But, you know, there are, on the other hand, there are a lot of people behaving irresponsibly, you know, that are taking needless risks. So I think we should just be encouraged and told how we can best avoid spreading it and getting it, and just try to do our best to do those things without actually being forced to do them. And I think one of the areas I was just kind of reading a little bit about was how the controversy, I guess, that exists over the Democratic primaries and whether they should be encouraging people to come out and vote. And I saw one video where there was a woman who was a worker at the poll who was talking about the fact that there were many senior citizens in the polling station who had been sitting there for 2 or 3 hours at least waiting to vote. Now, that strikes me as criminal. That sounds like negligence to a ridiculous extreme. And I think that party deserves major criticism for that. And particularly if the reason that they're doing that is because they have a particular candidate that they want to promote. The idea that, you know, that senior citizens are the most vulnerable, and then you bring them all together and put them in a school or wherever the polling station is, and then let them all sit together for several hours. I mean, that's just gross negligence. And I guess I can't help wondering too about why is it so common in the United States that people, when people go to vote, that they have to wait for hours and hours to do so. I don't know if that's the norm or not. I mean, I seem to hear about it a lot. I don't live in the United States, so I can't say I have any personal experience with that. But it seems like whenever there's a news report talking about elections, people are lined up for hours, which I would think would, for one thing, it would suppress the vote, you would think. A lot of people would just get fed up and not go. But it seems to me that there's got to be a better way to run elections. I mean, in Canada, we have federal and provincial elections are, first of all, they're all done on paper ballots, which I'm a big supporter of. But also they're, we can get in and out in 5 minutes, you know, when we vote. I can't remember the last time I spent more than 5 minutes in a polling station. So anyway, that's off the topic of the virus, but it just seems like, yeah, there's a lot of irresponsibility happening, and it's especially when it's happening from people who are supposed to be leading the rest of us. You know, it's pretty, it's pretty bad, I guess.
Well, I question some of the reaction. Now, again, I am in no position to be giving medical advice to anyone. Don't base your life decisions off of what the free fall guy has to say on this. But it just seems like there's other viruses that are very common. I had a flu last year. It just knocked me out for an entire week. I had a horrible one on the week of my birthday back in 2015 to the point where I was beginning to hallucinate. And, I rode that out by myself. I came through it. I still had to go to the doctor to get a note to get that extra day off from work because there was just no way I could go in. But they still made me do that. And I had to stop at a pharmacy to get a prescription and obviously infect anybody else that I came in contact with while that was going on. They didn't seem all that concerned about my ability to spread this thing through having to follow this procedure in order to not go into work and infect all the people there. But now we have something that the numbers, and I don't have them at my fingertips, but the numbers are as significant as what we've seen with previous epidemics, and it seems like they're really fearing this one. So I don't really want to take a position so much on whether or not this thing is serious. I mean, it's serious for you if you've got serious other health issues, and of course anytime you're sick it seems serious to you as well. But I just see some of the same echoes of what we saw after September 11th. What I mean by this is, when I grew up, there would be national crises to a certain extent that would happen, things that would catch the public's eye, certain news stories that everyone would be interested in. A good example is O.J. Simpson, but it was always something that was happening to somebody else. Or during Iran-Contra, obviously people were interested in it, it was on TV every day, but it was happening with other people. It wasn't something that was coming into our homes and affecting our lives directly. And then ever since September 11th, it was a terrible event, something that shocked everybody. Obviously, people were very much interested in this and glued to their TV sets, but we started hearing about how we are all going to have to sacrifice now as a result of the new threat of terrorism. And it just seems like these national dramas have become more inclusive of the people at home ever since September 11th. And you can correlate that with the rise of the cable news networks, which existed before, but it just seemed like it took more prominence and more power in being able to shape the narrative and tell everybody how to think, what to think, to attack those who question it. And I just question this now. And I guess this goes to one of my first planned questions. You know, how has the media's past coverage of issues like September 11th and other important events colored your perception of what they tell you during this current crisis?
That's a good question. I think the first thing that strikes me about the coverage, and I have not really been watching cable news throughout this. And one of the reasons I don't really want to watch it is because whenever there's a major story like this or a major event, the cable news, they basically just cover that and virtually nothing else. That's the first thing that disturbs me about these kind of situations is you kind of wonder, well, what else is going on in the world, you know, besides this, because whatever it is, we're certainly not hearing about it. I think the news media have a lot to answer for throughout this event and I would say 9/11 too, in the sense that their exaggerated coverage, and I don't mean that they're when I say exaggerated, I don't mean that they're exaggerating the danger of the coronavirus. I'm not commenting on that. But exaggerated in the sense that it becomes the only story happening in the world. And they tend, because they're all competing with each other, they tend to want to make it as sensational as they can. So it just kind of ramps up the fear level. And really, there's nothing that I think that the powers that be benefit from more than a terrified population. So the more afraid we are, the more we're afraid because of some event that we think is going to, you know, we're going to be one of the victims of it too. Then, you know, we're kind of complicit. We kind of go along with this. We drop our own interest in other things. So I think there are similarities between 9/11 and this. And you know, it's the way the news media, like the angle that they take on this. You know, with 9/11, of course, the focus was the terrorism angle was obviously huge, but then, you know, beyond that, it became all sort of an emotional coverage. You know, the profiles of the victims and just taking it very much from the point of view of how people feel about what has happened, or how their you know, their sense of security has been affected, and rather than actually kind of getting to what's really important, which is why did this happen and who actually did it, and what facts that are being presented to us just kind of don't match up with reality. So in this case, it seems like a lot of fear, and at the same time, sort of irresponsibility from some people that kind of think that there's absolutely zero to worry about. So I don't know if I answered your question well there or not, Andy. But
you know, I just honestly at this point don't trust anything the media tells me. I look into it myself. That doesn't mean that everything the media tells you is not factual. I mean, if they tell you that it's raining in Atlanta, Georgia today, you know, that I can trust that probably because there's nothing controversial about that. But I always want to do my own research. I don't jump onto any bandwagons. I don't react. And it's sort of sad, though, because if you did have a national emergency, to the extent that it was a real national emergency. I mean, something just out of this world, catastrophic. You do have to mobilize people for their own safety, but it's kind of the point now where I'm going to begin questioning, you know, they tell me to go to some center or something to avoid it. Should I really do that? I got to do this extra research. I think that's a burden that the American people don't deserve, that we didn't have back in the 90s and such, but now we have it because of everything that we have learned and the fact that the news media has just gotten so out of control with the hidden agendas, and it's not even so hidden, it's right out in the open here, but with the fact that you really just can't trust what you're being told. Now, interesting enough, when you talk about the American people and the emotional reaction, I'm looking at the CDC's little white sheet on the coronavirus, and it says the symptoms are fever, cough, shortness of breath, yet we had this phenomenon where people are clearing the shelves of toilet paper, literally fighting over it in some cases, and that toilet paper has nothing to do with these symptoms here. Now, I remember at one point, within a year or two of September 11th, there was some particular terrorist warning. They had put the level at whatever color. Remember the color chart? They'd say a high level of terrorism would be this color and a low level would be this color. And they were telling people to go out and buy duct tape and saran wrap and put it around their windows because they might attack a nuclear power plant. And even if you don't live anywhere near a nuclear power plant, people were still doing this. And it's just this reactionary response to whatever the media tells you. It's like this knee-jerk reaction that people demonstrate. And it really makes you wonder about the, I don't know, mental competence of the masses. And I'm not talking about individuals. When you talk to individuals, people tend to become more rational. But when people get into this hysteria over something that, you know, that the TV has told them, where their reactions aren't even logical, but they still follow it. It makes you wonder about your ability to talk to them about the truth of some of these events and get at some of the facts with them. I mean, what do you think about everything I just said?
Well, I think the first impression I had when I saw people hoarding toilet paper was, I can't believe how stupid some people can be. I mean, it's shockingly stupid. Our society kind of urges us to be, focused on, you know, what we would do like to survive in a crisis. I mean, I think we've even talked about this in past years. I think a couple of times, you know, about how the entertainment that we watch, is much of it is so focused. I always thought it to an exaggerated degree over the last, 10 or 15 years on worldwide disasters that involve viruses and, you know, sometimes turning people into zombies and that kind of thing. But when people, especially younger people, I mean, that's all they've been brought up on this. They're used to movies where, you know, the whole society is completely breaks down and people are, you know, battling each other for survival. And so when they go out, when they hear a crisis like this and they think, you know, I don't know. I mean, does that subconsciously work in their minds? I'm not sure. But it's like people think, well, if I don't grab extra now, then I won't have any. And then when people see other people doing it, they think, well, they're going to get all the toilet paper, so we better get some extra because we don't, you know, it's like a domino effect. I mean, that's funny. I went to get some groceries like about a week and a half ago, and there were a lot more people there than usual, and a lot, you know, longer lines. Most of the canned goods, particularly soup and things like that, were gone. The pasta was virtually gone. A lot of other stuff was there, but I sort of thought, like, it makes you wonder, like, are there going to be any groceries in a week? But I just went out yesterday and did the same thing, and everything was very normal. I was pleasantly surprised that it seemed like it had gone back to normal, just in terms of the number of people in the store. So maybe they kind of realized a little bit that it's really not productive to start getting into hoarding things. It's shocking, really, that people can slip into that kind of behavior. that easily.
Right, and then you see these, I call them lecture mobs, where if you question something, which I think everything should be questioned at least, you know, raise these points, and I think they should be addressed. So if somebody says, well, you know, could this have come out of the weapons lab in China by accident? I mean, and somebody says, no, that's a conspiracy theory, they should explain why it isn't. And I guess there's, again, I'm not a biologist or a virus expert, but I mean, there's ways to tell if it's man-made by looking at it. Somebody should come out to the public and explain why this isn't so, not just dismiss it as crazy bunk. You know, I think the American people deserve that, or at least the people who are interested enough in that. I mean, they're looking for every single angle to cover this coronavirus. I sent you an article offline on Facebook. It's just an example of how they're looking for any angle with which to just, you know, keep on talking about this. I think they were talking about the adult industry and how it's affecting that. It's like, you know, who cares? Who's thinking about this? Who's writing an article about this? But I have yet to see an article that explains with authority, you know, how this isn't some bioweapon that accidentally got out, or how this is more severe than the H1N1. I mean, these are very reasonable questions that, look, I can't answer from my knowledge base, unless I did a lot of research, but deserve to be at least be addressed and then rebutted, or not rebutted because the explanation was good enough. But the first thing that they do is they just dismiss it, and then they use the public. And I don't mean directly, but the public will come to the system's aid and try to shame you. That seems to be the new technique, is just letting the little tattletales and brown nosers of society come out and shame you for putting us all in danger for questioning this. You know, if you question 9/11, then you're helping the terrorists and you're going to kill more Americans or more Canadians or whatever country you're in. You know, they'll try to come out and front for the system in that way. But they do that now. If you make questions about, like, yeah, I don't know, it's a complete lockdown of the San Francisco Bay Area really necessary for fighting this thing, you're suddenly putting people in danger. And what's funny about that is you hear people trying to frame this as a humanitarian issue, you know, as if you somehow don't think that the every measure that they're taking is necessary, you don't care about people. But I've seen issues come up where, I know we've been firing depleted uranium into Iraq, creating horrible birth defects, and not a peep from these same people. Not a peep from our corporate media. Hardly a peep. The only reason I found out about this was because of alternative media, from people that were documenting this. And, you know, maybe every once in a while corporate media gives it a mention, but there was no hysteria over this. So stop pretending that it's about caring about people. The reason people are panicking is because they're worried about themselves and the people that they know. It's because it could get into your own door. Now, I just want to clear up some things, because I think people are thinking that this is something that's just floating in the air. This is according to the CDC. The virus is thought to spread mainly between people who are in close contact with one another within about 6 feet through respiratory droplets produced when an infected person coughs or sneezes. It also may be possible that a person can get COVID-19 by touching a surface or object that has the virus on it and then touching their own mouth, nose, or possibly their eyes, but this is not thought to be the main way the virus spreads. Learn what is known about the spread of the newly emerged coronavirus at, and it gives you a link. I followed that link. It doesn't really tell me a whole lot more at that link. So what it sounds like is that if somebody sneezes and droplets of it get on you, you have a chance of contracting it, but it's not something that's just floating through the air like that movie The Stand, where 99% of the population gets wiped out by a accidentally released bioweapon or something like that. So keep it in perspective. That's my public service announcement. So you have any comments on that, Craig?
Well, I guess the thing that's tricky about this particular virus, or one of the things, I guess, that makes it a little different from some of the other ones that we've mentioned, is that people can go quite a long time without any symptoms, can have the virus and can go, I think it's like 10 days sometimes without any symptoms. So, you know, the one thing about the flu is, from what I understand anyway, and I'm not an expert, but is that you'll start showing symptoms much, much sooner. So it's easier in that case for sick people to just stay home. Whereas in this case, somebody might not know they're sick and they might be, or might not know they have and might be walking around. So that's just you know, that's just, I guess, one aspect of it. But I certainly know that that people, like, I put a Facebook post up questioning the whole San Francisco-ish, you know, curfew thing, if you can call it a curfew. And the reaction I got, and this goes back maybe to your previous point a little bit, was very much like they thought I was saying that this is not an important virus or not a big deal, and I think we should take risks with people's health in order to keep, you know, keep their rights, I guess. And I had actually not said anything of the kind. I had not said that it was not a major crisis or anything like that. But it's amazing how people will immediately, it's like when there's fear involved and when there's a crisis involved that people think affects them directly, they are not just prepared to throw their own kind of rights out the window, but they will, as you said before, shame you into not even making that point. Like we can't be dealing with people's rights now. And one of my friends made the comment about this, that, you know, this could be the new normal, what we're seeing. And I said, that's exactly what I'm afraid of, because when it becomes normal that, oh, we have a crisis, so everybody must stay in their homes, or they must, you know, do this or do that, you know, those things tend not to go back the other way. You know, it's sort of, we kind of take this as being the way, what we'll accept now. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't accept what the measures being put in place, generally speaking, but it's just, it is right, as you said before, that people are very quick to jump on you if you want to talk about another aspect of it. Like if you wanted to compare it to 9/11, if you shared that idea with your friends, you'd probably get a lot of nasty comments. Or if you want to talk about, you know, is it a bioweapon? I mean, perhaps your conspiracy friends might like that idea, or might like that discussion. But the average person is like, no, we can't talk about that now. We can only talk about, you know, what's closed and what people should do.
Exactly. Now we're in our last few minutes, so I just want to tell everybody, obviously the coronavirus is affecting everybody. We have a bulletin going out from 1811 Truth explaining how we're dealing with the coronavirus, but everything is still moving forward. But the release of the Halsey Report is going to be coming out next week. We're very excited about that. And we also got great things on the way in terms of projects. Dylan Avery's movie about World Trade Center 7. I think this is going to be one of the best movies on the subject that's ever come out that we're going to see. You know, if you are quarantined, if you are being forced to stay in your house, and who knows where we're going to be by the time the show airs tomorrow. There's new developments every single day. This is like a movie or something. If you are quarantined, what a great opportunity to do some 9/11 activism online. If you're in with family and they've been putting off watching experts speak out, sit down, watch it with them. See if they're willing to take the time since they don't have anything else to do. Use Facebook, use email, send out information. If you haven't sent out an email for the Bobby McElvain Act to your congressman, do so now while you have the time and you're off from work. Take advantage of this time to spread the truth about this important issue that we all care about, this audience, and we've been involved with for so long. And, you know, who knows what will develop from this. Maybe people, as a result of everything that's going on, may be more open to hearing alternative information from it. So you never know what's coming down the pike and, you know, how things can change. And always remember, after September 11th, I was all charged up and ready to go attack the world. And I remember hearing on the radio the song Let It Be. And I take that as some kind of universal cue to me to just chill out, wait a few more years, because that's when I came to find out about the controlled demolition evidence. So keep your wits about you during these worldwide panics that are being broadcast on TV in big red letters, and try to reserve judgment until you have more information, and then you'll be able to make a proper assessment of what's really going on there. So with that said, Craig, I'm sorry we are out of time. I want to thank you so much for spending this time with our audience, and thank you for coming on 9/11 Freefall today.
My pleasure, Andy. Thanks for having me.
This program is on every Thursday night on No Lies Radio at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, and every other Sunday night on BBS Radio at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. You can also keep track of the archives by going to 911freefall.com. This is Andy Steele. Have a great week. Good luck.